All right, Matthew 27, and we're going to pick up with verse number 45. The Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land under the ninth hour." Man, just in passing, every time I come across that, I can't help but to think, when that darkness came about, and he's been saying, "I'm the light of the world, I'm the light of the world." And the Father's been bearing witness to it. And when the lights go out, the Father bears witness of the Son, saying he was the light of the world. You put him on the cross and the lights go out. I tell you something, man. That's going to be... man, that's got to be just completely terrifying to know it. But you know what that shows you, though? He's showing you without a world without the Lord Jesus Christ is dark, so dark you can't see. You wonder why there's so much darkness in this world today? If you don't have Jesus Christ, all you have is darkness. There's no light without the Lord Jesus Christ, but when the Lord Jesus Christ enters in, he'll light the situation up. You get him out of there, okay, well, you're going to have darkness. Now, in verse 46, it says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Now, some people pronounce it Eli, Eli, but I don't know. You know, either way, but there's a few things I want to say about this. It says, that is to say. So he's going to give you the interpretation of that from one language to another. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you got, when you come across a verse like this, if anybody ever says, well, there's no such thing as a perfect translation. Well, I've got plenty of Bible verses to show you God is able to get something perfect from one language to another. He said this in one language, that is to say, it's the same thing that's said in a different language, even though it's more words. So you know what that tells me? God can get perfectly what he wants said from one language to another. And he does it, the Bible said, let one interpret tongues. Tongues are languages. So you know, he said, well, how come you got biblical evidence that you can only have one perfect word of God in a language per time? Yes, let one interpret. God's not going to put an interpretation and say, all right, here's the English language, but I've got four or five different ones and they say different things in English language. No, the Bible says let one interpret. That's the rule on tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. So guess what? You got one word. In our language, that English language right there, that's the Word of God for you, for the English-speaking people. You know what? He can get it. No, that's his bid. But you know what? Which one I'm liable for? This one right here. And you get German. You know, you got Luther's German Bible. I believe them people right there will be responsible for that Word of God in that language. And people will say, well, how you believe? I got Scripture for it. And I hope you know you can believe every single word of this Bible. Because look, if you ever get to where you're doubting one point, well, if you doubt one point, who's to say that 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4 is wrong? I mean, we say we're going to question one point. What I'm saying is, there's you a good verse for that. And if they won't take that, just leave them alone. Just say, all right, well, look, I showed you the verse, and I got to get gone. Verse 47, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. Now, what gets me is they knew what he was calling for. The last thing you read in the book of Malachi, if you want to, we'll go there together. Just hold your Bible there in Matthew 27 and turn back one book, Malachi. The last thing that these Jews had heard, and the last thing they were going to be looking for when they knew the last days were upon them, the last days of Israel, that they were supposed to be looking for this. And look at Malachi chapter 4, look at verse number 5. And you wonder why they died out. They rejected the word of God. The Bible says in verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, why did they get the curse instead of the blessing? Because they rejected him. The Bible said, John the Baptist, if you will receive it, this is a lie that was for to come. They rejected him, and they rejected that spirit. And you know what happens? That's why they rejected the Lord. They knew the Bible, still rejected it. That's why he said, look, if they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know what I've realized? If people reject the Bible, they wouldn't believe if they saw a sign. If somebody rose from, they wouldn't believe. That's why a lot of times we worry our head about things. And if you've given them the Bible and they reject it, why do I kind of got to keep going any further? A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is subverted and sinneth again. Look, that sin has blinded their eye. They're blind right here. And y'all, you know what I take a lesson from that is? The spiritual lesson you need to get out of that is this. When you get that word of God, accept it.
Yeah.
Say, there's the truth, there's the light. Because if not, you're going to see darkness and you'll have the verse and just mock. Now, here's another thing. It says in verse 48, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. Some people rush to just literally just rub it in people's eyes, so to speak. Just to rush to rub it in. When somebody's already down, some people love to kick you when you're down, man. You be going through a rough day. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ suffering. And they run. Yeah, I mean, just think about this. He's in a hurry to cause somebody pain and misery while they're already in pain. You know what you'll find out right there? That's demonic when that happens. You say, you'll know when you're down and you're having a down and out moment and somebody's trying to kick you while you're down, you know that's an attack of the devil right there. Here's people literally crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the work of the devil. And you say, what's going on here? That's the devil trying to attack you. That's the devil trying to starve you out and get you so thirsty you can't do anything. Y'all, that's demonic. And we need to recognize these things. Watch this. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Those rascals. That, you know what that means? If you look at that, that means they've made a god out of Elias. Why? God comes to save. What's happened is they know the scripture and they make gods out of who they want to make a god out of. Now what I'm telling you is this world does the same thing. They've got the verses, they got the Bible and all this, access to all this stuff. You know what they do? They make their own gods.
Right.
You know what we got to do?
Yeah.
Stay away from making our own gods. As long as you put God, the Lord Jesus Christ, above everything else, that'll keep us from doing that. Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, I got to give a few verses to you on this. For quick reference, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't a regular man. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down to myself. He gave up, yielded up the ghost. I'm going to tell you, that is amazing. That's amazing to me. Why? Because it's his. His life is his. That's God right there. If anybody ever tells you Jesus Christ was not God or is not God, the Lord Jesus Christ said he was and he is to come. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one we preach about. That's the one we brag about. That's the one we pray to. And that's the one that's coming back one of these days. The one that died for me, rose again the third day. Man, now watch this. Verse number 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, what you got to realize is now what he's doing. I'm going to read a verse to you out of Hebrews chapter 10 right quick. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with Hebrews 9, verse number 17. When it said he yielded up the ghost, you know that everything prior to this happening was Old Testament. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:17, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So, Everything that happened before he yielded up the ghost, Jesus Christ is the testator. So everything that happened, that's Old Testament. So, for instance, the Lord Jesus Christ died first. When you're witnessing somebody and say, well, the thief died on the cross without water baptism. And they say, well, he died in the Old Testament. No, he did not. He died in the New Testament because Christ was dead already. They had to come and break the thieves' legs. The Lord was dead already. That stuff is important. Those intricate details, those little small things in the Bible are important to learn. Now, another thing is, as you see here, that veil of the temple was rent. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read verse number 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So you know what the Lord's saying now? He tore that thing away, and he's saying now that those Jews could come through him. He was showing them, hey, I'm the Messiah. If anything else, if it was rent from the top to the bottom, they should have been able to see, this is the Messiah who is for to come. But you know what? The blindness of their eyes and the hardness of their hearts wouldn't let them see it. He goes so far, all these things are happening to show them who he is. Look at verse number 52. And the graves were open and many. Now I got this underlined in my Bible, because it says many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now that's very important. Because it's part of the first resurrection. I'm going to read a verse 10, Revelation 20, verse 4 says this. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You know what that's showing you? He's the Messiah that was able to raise them up so they could go into that kingdom. He'd been saying, the kingdom's at hand, the kingdom's at hand, the kingdom's at hand. He yielded up the ghost. He's not a regular man. They had Ecclesiastes at that time. They know that men did not have power of their spirit. He yielded up that ghost. Then here he is, after all the veil of the temple. Look, all these things are happening right before their eyes. And right here, the bodies arise. He's saying, hey, by the power of my resurrection, he's saying, I'm your Messiah. I'm able to resurrect you and bring you into that kingdom. Dead or whatever, he's able to do that. And you know what they're doing? Rejecting, rejecting, rejecting. Now watch this. It says in verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went up, and it says, and went into the holy city. Now the Bible says the holy city is Jerusalem. And appeared unto many. Now, that may give some light on this verse. I'm going to give you a verse in Acts. And I'm just going over these verses because we got started a little late. I'm going to show you a couple of these things right quick. And I want to give you a verse out of Acts chapter 6, verse number 7. The Bible says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. Watch this. In Jerusalem, greatly, greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, why is that? It says Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the holy city. It says these bodies come up, and they appeared in the holy city. Don't you know how many people thought, what in the world's going on here? That's a preview of that kingdom. And people started believing. Man, he's got to be. And they started believing. You know what? That shows you right there, all that stuff was there waiting in the wings had they believed. Now you think on how many things, the Bible talks about all the blessings that come along with belief. How many things in my life and the lives of others and things that go on, blessings that could have been there had we just believed. Just things that could have, all that stuff is there, it's there, it's there. And just unbelief. So much unbelief knocks so many things out. And we say, well, I just don't know if God could do it. You know what's going on? We forget how big our God is. We just put God up on this one little shelf here and say, well, I know He can do that. And that's, man, He's greater than our mind could ever fathom. Greater, greater, greater than we could ever fathom here. The thing we got to realize is you can see this thing flip-flopping here where the Jews are rejecting, Watch the verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, see, they got their eyes on Jesus, not on the events around them so much. Saw the earthquake. See, they see Jesus first. Look, if you see Jesus first, it'll put everything else in perspective. Watch this. In those things that were done, they feared greatly. Watch this. Saying, truly, this was the Son of God. You know what you're finding out? Gentiles now are receiving Jesus while the Jews are rejecting Him. Now, you know what Romans 11 talks about? The Gentiles, right before the church age, with the Gentiles in a large number, not just a few, but you're going to see them in droves just continually reject, reject, reject. Just like the Jews did, the Gentiles are going to do the same thing, and God's going to be finished with the Gentile, and He's going to go right back to that Jew and pick up where He left off and finish out. You know what we're seeing today? We're seeing this in reverse. We're seeing a time right now where the Gentiles are rejecting, with all the evidence there, everything God can do all in front of them, and just rejecting it. And y'all, it's right there for us. And I tell you something, man, it's just too much to miss. God's doing too much. Man, it's just right there in our face. A while ago, we was talking about all that praise and our praise list. You're talking about a praise list. Man, He's good. And man, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. It's too much. It's too much. Now watch this. It says, verse 55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto Him. Now I tell you something, you don't want to miss the ministry of the women too. I'm going to tell you something. You read this Bible here, and yeah, men do a lot of things. But even in our churches today, you know who holds a whole lot of the weight? Women do.
Amen.
Women do. And I thank God, you see this thing, it says many women. And we can't forget the weight that they hold there. Why? You know what we're supposed to do? Work together. Work together there. When each does their part like they're supposed to, and I'm not going to go so far like old Rick Warren is and the rest of them crazies putting women in the pulpit. Look, a man has his place and a woman has her place, and the places work together. We're help meets together. But we get out of place, and see, that's what that flesh wants to do, is put this one over here. We know what we're supposed to do. And the Bible says, no, this is the order God has placed things in, and it does right. Verse 56, among which Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now that throws a kink in a lot of people's chain right there. You know what? God, you're going to see them. God can use rich and God can use poor. God can use anybody who will yield to Him. That's God's business. Now, I like that. Watch this. It says, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now you know what? There's a good spiritual application of that right there. I wish people would beg the body of Jesus, so to speak. I wish people would, like we've talked about, crave the Lord Jesus. Get to where you're begging for Jesus. You know what? Something gets done right here. We ought to come and say, Lord, I just want to see Jesus. I just want to see the Lord. Just show me Jesus. That's the one that's going to help me. That's the one that's going to make a difference in my life. That's the one that actually is there to help me. And I know I need to beg for Jesus. They're begging. And look, they're in here. Man, I tell you something. That'd be good to be in the eternal Word of God begging for Jesus. Now, I wonder what our record's going to look like. Wonder if we're begging for Jesus or begging for everything else. I tell you, man, that's a good testimony right there to have. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Hey, you want Jesus, you get Him. The old saying is, you get what you want. Man, I tell you this, you're going to get what you want out of life. You want the right things, and the right things will come. Man, you want holiness, and look, God will give you holiness. You want the true happiness? God will give you true happiness. The problem is, it's so easy to want the old worldly happiness. And they beg it, and they get the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this, verse 59. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. There's the Lord's clothes. The Lord's clothes are clean. You know what he started off wrapped out? The gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift. He's always given. He's always wrapped up the right way. He come up there and Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes. What, the gift of God right here? Here he is wrapped up again. And guess what? His wrapping's clean. You talking about a sanitary wrapping, man. The Lord's got it. He's got it. Look, that's the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ right there. He's taken the body and wrapped it up. You know what? Look how careful he is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we ought to be careful with the Lord. I think we ought to be careful how do we handle him. See how careful he... Look, here he is in the record being careful with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the things of God ought to be cared for like they should be. We ought to make sure they're clean. We ought to make sure everything that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ is clean. Look, this world's so filthy and so dirty. When they get around the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to see a difference. And there ought to be a cleanliness about it. Why? Because God's things are different. This man cared. verse 60, and laid it in his own new tomb. Gave his best for the Lord, didn't he? You know, that tomb was laid up for the future. And he took what was laid up for the future and gave it to the Lord. And guess what? The Lord didn't keep it long, got it back. What you give the Lord, you get back. Man, you get it back. So, look, here's Abraham and God. Don't you know Abraham, and the Bible said he loved his boy Isaac. He gave Isaac to the Lord and got him back. You know what? You give the God, I'm telling you something. And if I ever get to it in the sermon day, you'll get it back. And look, if you don't get it here, you'll get it over there. You're going to see it. You're going to see it again. The Bible says, in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. And I guess we got people coming in. We'll stop there. But now you think about all these. You think about all these things right here. And I want to go over one thing. I guess if you'll notice in verse number 2, we're talking about this stone. In verse 2, it says, "And behold, there was a in chapter 28, verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Come on in, brother. Godly things, in closing, godly things are done better. Look, because an angel rolled his stone away. Lazarus, men rolled his stone away. That's God gets the preeminence in all things. That's God getting the preeminence. As long as he gets the preeminence, we're in the right spot. We'll close out with that.